Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
3 hours to go here on Cody and Gold. Cody Tapp, Logan Weber with you. Drew Nixon on the other side of the glass. Alex out. Waiting desperately.
He's having some problems, man.
For his car. Look, I don't know how much of this he wants us to
probably not very much
to get into. But he is not enjoying the tracking feature on the USPS site. Over on the text line, 8-1-6. 27-year mailman here. I wish to God they would stop using out for delivery on packages. It just means it has been scanned at some point along the delivery route. It could be at the processing plant. It could be on the truck heading for the post office to be delivered tomorrow or even the next day. It's a terribly misleading message.
Next day
it's particularly bad for Alex because next day is awful because we have our road trip to go watch Caglione play baseball tomorrow in Springfield. There's already 220 people going down there. You can buy tickets at 96.5thefan.com if you want to drive to Springfield with us and watch Caglione play. The Naturals take on the Springfield Cardinals down there at Hammonds Field. I think you might just need to like go to the post. You might have to call. It might have to be a call situation. And look, calling, I can't even imagine. I hate calling customer service numbers anyway.
Yeah.
Calling the post office customer service line.
Having to make that explanation like, hey, I'm waiting on a Caitlin Clark basketball card to arrive at my house. The person on the other side of that phone is going to be, are you certifiably insane? They're not going to have any concept of it. I picture Alex this morning, like he woke up at 6:30, got fully dressed, and has just been sitting
like peeking
there,
out
just
of the
peeking
blinds.
Through the blinds, yeah. Or if he's got like a Ring doorbell at his place, he's just sitting there watching the stream on his phone, just waiting for this person to show up. I wouldn't be surprised if he just like jumped into this person's arm
like
when they arrived at the
like
door.
He wanted like an Apple AirTag, just like to load track this thing. From 913, 45-year postal employee here. That guy is exactly right. They're saying that because like UPS, for instance, they delivered our shirts from Raygun. So we got our shirts that say CAGS on them. It's an order of like 160 shirts. I got shipping notice yesterday that they had left Des Moines, Iowa at 8:03 a.m. I got three shipping notices along the way, and then they got delivered at like 2 p.m. So I could get shirts from Des Moines to my doorstep by 2 in clear designated time frames. I think this is his frustration. The USPS, sometimes maybe their live tracking is not as accurate. Maybe it comes with a few more problems. Who knows? Either way, Alex is out the entire day because he's trying to figure out the card. We will let you know what happens with Alex as because he'll tell us. He promised us that the second that the Caitlin Clark card is in his hands, he will let us know. But I want to ask you a question about the Royals, and we're back to the Chiefs and the Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up at 11:30. Fan Club Friday at 1 o'clock, Harold Kuntz, plus our friends over at Parisi, I think, are making some coffee-based cocktails for us coming up at 1 as well. But I want to ask a simple question as it relates to the Royals. We're through May. I wanted to do this topic yesterday, but we had a one-hour show. So we'll do it today. Let's just pretend like that this is the month of April I'm asking this question. The Royals just released their player and pitcher of the month. Bobby Witt Jr., shocker, was the player of the month. Chris Bubich was the pitcher of the month for the Royals. What I want to know is who you think the biggest unsung hero is for the first month of the Royals. 913-586-7965. My answer is Michael Lorenzen. My answer is Michael Lorenzen because The bullpen, the starting pitchers are supposed to be good anyway, right? We saw what Lugo and Cole Reagans and Michael Wacha and those guys did. And look, Bubich maybe falls into this category too. I wouldn't have a strong argument against it if you told me your answer was Bubich. But he burst onto the scene so early, he feels properly sung, mm-hmm. probably at this point, the way I would put it. Michael Lorenzen is the fifth starter on a team that didn't know, like, Michael Lorenzen wasn't even guaranteed the job going into the season. And he's got a sub-3 ERA. He's coming off a six-inning outing where he only gave up one run. He has been as consistent as any other pitcher in the rotation as the fifth guy getting called up every time through towards the end of series, day game, whatever. Doesn't matter. Michael Lorenzen is my answer because I'm surprised at how good of a job he's already done inside this rotation.
I like that one a lot. I mean, you're right. Bubich hit the ground running after the Tommy John and has been incredible to open up this year. Lorenzen, a guy they acquired last year from Texas, and he did some good things, and then he got banged up and then didn't really have any run in the postseason. You didn't know what to expect from him coming into the year and is, you know, going into his 30s, and he's been nails, especially when you look at who you expected to be great. And not that Cole Reagans and Lugo have been bad. They've done their jobs well this year, but they kind of got off to slow starts to begin the year, and guys like Lorenzen and Wacha and Bubich kind of picked up the slack in the back half of that rotation, which was massive. I know I've already mentioned his name a couple of times, and mentioning it a third time feels like a cop-out, but I'll do it anyway. I don't think people are talking enough about Mikel Garcia.
Is he in like 293? I haven't looked at his average lately.
He's hitting 296.
Oh, 296. Yeah, I was underselling him. I apologize.
Yeah, he's hitting
They're undefeated when he has two hits in a game. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. What I mean, he's hitting 296. He's got a 353 on base percentage. He's already got 7 stolen bases this year, although unfortunately he does lead Major League Baseball in caught stealings. He's been thrown out 5 times. But, I mean, man, he's been great. He's got 32 hits to 18 walks. For a guy who hit 231 a year ago, in March and April of last year, just comparing year over year, his splits, March and April of 24, he hit 231.
And that was with a 300 May. He was really bad in April, Michael.
Yes, he was horrible. In May, he hit 305, and in June, he hit 142. So for him to get off to as good of a start this year compared to where he was at a year ago, if that can continue into the month of May, fantastic. But I think we're seeing him sort of fall back into the form we saw from him in 2023, where he hit 272 across 123 games. If he can be that guy, I think a huge part of it is moving him out of that leadoff spot. I don't think that was where he was most comfortable.
Yeah.
Putting him fifth in the order, hitting behind Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, I think is a beautiful sweet spot for him. I have been incredibly impressed, and I don't think we're talking enough about him.
So with him, he is a little bit like Salvador Perez in that he is a hot or cold hitter. So take advantage when he's hot. They are 10-0 when he hits two hits this year, which is wild. But that probably speaks to your point of like, he matters to them, right? They're undefeated when Mikel Garcia gets on base a couple of times. Yesterday, it was a little bit of everybody. I went to the pitching staff, and I could make an argument for Schreiber. I could make an argument for Lynch.
Yeah, Daniel Lynch was one I thought of.
Some of these guys, it's kind of hard to feel like to exclude the pitching, just knowing that that's been what's carried them for a huge chunk. Because, I can't tell you Estevez is unsung or Urseg is unsung. That would be inaccurate. Everybody knows what those guys have brought to the table. Like, to the point that, like, Michael Lorenzen, that's the guy I mentioned. He's made 6 starts, so he showed up every time. 3.48 ERA. He has only given up 13 earned runs. He has struck out 28. And he has been the winning pitcher more than any other starter. And this is, pitcher wins are an anomaly, right, most of the time. But they win when he starts. And I think it's largely because teams who haven't screwed around with the rotation yet, Michael Lorenzen, for at least half of those starts, has got to go up against the other guy who stinks, right? Oh, it's the fifth starter for the other team, right? I'm up against a guy who is barely at the back end. Well, he's significantly better than them.
Yeah.
Like, because he's he's performing well, even if he was going up against everyone's ace. But because he's lining up towards the back end of a lot of these teams' rotations here in this early stretch, they're getting a lot of wins off of that, right? They're getting a lot of, just straight-up W's off of playing it through there. Look, on the hitting end, I would probably answer Mikel Garcia. I think Freddie Fermin, who's been a really nice player, and especially for a backup catcher role, you could probably do it. Drew, your answer is
Drew Waters.
Drew Waters.
Not just because his name is Drew.
Yeah, I was about to say, wait, is this a bias? Is this a Drew bias?
I don't think it is as much as that is just what he's been able to do. And people in the text line
have played half as many games, but like they needed some offense when he came up, and he's given it to them.
I think that's the biggest thing is we not necessarily expected him to be here, but you know, with MJ struggling, he has an opportunity to really salvage things and get on the right side, I think, with the fan base. And he's been able to do a nice job of that. I mean, he's hitting the best average he's ever had. On base percentage is the best that, you know, he's had in over the course of his career. He's on a 4-game hitting streak now. He's been able to deliver when asked to, it seems like, more than some of the others that, you know, with a team that's struggling as much as the Royals have been on offense, he's been one of the bright spots.
Some of the ones on the text line, 913-586-7965. I saw Kyle Isbell. And look, Isbell's numbers are not going to, like, blow you away. But he's available. He does some bunting. He gets, you know, like, he's got 10 RBI, which is more or the same amount as Michael Massey, only one less than Mikel Garcia. So, like, you know, he does some little things well where, like, just as long as you're not counting on him to be the some superstar hitter that he's not, you're getting some good value out of that. That's not a bad answer. So, yeah, I saw Kyle Isbell. I saw Freddie Fermin. I saw your guy, Drew Waters, over on the text line to go with ours as well. The bullpen is the only answer for the only one that I'm finding less people are mentioning, which is surprising to me. And I think that's because you just think of it as being Urshag and Estevez.
Yeah. You look at the unit as a whole.
And you're
right.
Like, I just want to be clear. There are other guys in this bullpen that are pitching Maybe not as well as those guys, but pretty close. Daniel Lynch on the season. He has 3 wins, by the way. He's 3-0 out of the bullpen. He has a 1.26 ERA in 13 games. Schreiber has a 2.03 ERA in 13 games. And Angel Zerpa has a 3.97 ERA in 12 games. And Zerpa started off, just as a reminder, he started off kind of slow and now seems to be stabilizing where he was. I mean, there are some definite answers here. Hitting, Mikel might matter more because nobody else was hitting.
Right.
So it's like, Mikel and Drew Waters make sense because you're just like, who?
Who outside of Bobby is getting on base right now?
Bobby. I mean, he's getting on base all the time. I saw, so yesterday, again, we only had a 1-hour show. After Wednesday's game, it was officially Bobby had played 500 games in major leagues. And you're like, all right, 500 games. That's a real milestone. And I can't think of how many times I in my life have watched like a player, and after 500 games, they're like, hey man, young, very early in the career, only 2,000 at bats. Let's wait a little bit and see what we got at Bobby. Bobby has now played in 501 games. These are his career numbers. 290 batting average, including leading the majors in it last year, and he's hitting 322 this year, although I think Aaron Judge is still in like 400. I think he's
unbelievable.
If Bobby Witt Jr. does all the same things again this year and still loses the MVP, I'm going to be so annoyed. 290 career batting average, 340 career on base, 505 slug. He is already in 500 games, hit 85 homers, 300 RBIs, 119 stolen bases to go with it as well. The people who have started their career with this number of home runs, stolen bases, all-stars, all this stuff, it's a who's who's list of really, really good baseball careers. I hate to say, like, what's next? I expect him to continue to get better than this. I think the next 4 years will go better than the first 4 years did. I expect the next 500 games to have stat lines that are improved in almost every conceivable category. Is that out of line? Out of line for me to just assume Bobby Witt Jr. is going to keep getting better?
It shouldn't.
Peak for baseball players, a lot of times, like 27 to 31.
27 to 30, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly where my brain was going. You've seen Bobby's numbers in terms of his strikeout rate go down, his hard hit rate go up. Everything's trending in the right direction. You know that he's going to be one of the fastest players in baseball and is consistently going to be a 20 to 30 stolen base guy. He's got enough pop to give you 30 to 40 home runs a year, right? I'm not expecting him to all of a sudden turn into a guy who is knocking 40 or 50 home runs a year out of the ballpark.
No, but I think he should get 50 a year. I expect there to be a year that Bobby Witt Jr. hits 50. I'm not saying it's this year. At shortstop, it's a little more difficult, I understand. He's got 30 in back-to-back seasons. He only has three this year so far.
And 50, I mean, hitting 50 when you're playing half your games at Kauffman is also, would be an incredible feat. I mean,
at some point in his career, maybe he'll be playing in a new downtown-ish ballpark.
Oh, well, could be.
I'm so tired of talking about the ballpark. I just want them to just tell me where it is. Just tell me where it's going to go.
We just want to know.
That's it. I just want to know where it is. Oh, God, I did look it up. Aaron Judge is hitting 427.
Yeah.
He leads the leagues right now in runs, hits, homers, RBI. He has 32 RBI?
And 31. He's got more RBIs than games played.
427 average, 521 on base percentage. I'm guessing he is. I mean, he's leading the league in every single conceivable hitting category across the board.
He's almost got a 3 WAR. It's May 2nd, and his WAR is at nearly 3.
I gotta assume Bobby Wood Jr. is at least over 2 by now. What's the over-under on that hitting streak in your guys' mind? Does he break Whit Merrifield 31.5?
That's tough, man.
22 games is a lot.
22 is a lot, and all it takes is one off night, man. It's so... I would love to, like, sit down and look at the projected starters for the Royals' upcoming matchups, because, like, I think he can extend this streak up through... what happens in Baltimore, because they're terrible. Then you follow, so
and
that
they
puts
can't
him
pitch,
at 20.
So
exactly,
that there's an advantage.
That puts him at 25. Then you've got 4 games against the White Sox at home. Garrett Crochet is no longer in Chicago, right? So I think that you could potentially see this thing get pushed to 29. But then you've got a 3-game series against Boston, in which Garrett Crochet will more than likely be on the bump for one of those games. So I could see him extending this thing late into the 20s and even getting it to 30 or even 31. But I look at that May 10th matchup in Kansas City against Boston with Garrett Crochet on the bump as a potential game that could stop him in his tracks.
Coming up in 10 minutes, I'm going to tell you something the NFL is kicking around. And I'm going to be honest, I don't think a lot of you are going to like it. I'll tell you about that in 10 minutes. But first, let's...
Trash of the day.
This one coming from Australia, and a story I genuinely cannot believe because I don't think it's like there's a story out of Australia. Part of the issues happening is somebody put up a basketball hoop in a neighborhood. Crazy, I know. Happens in the suburbs all the time. But what is happening next is they're being sued. What they're seeing on this other end is they are suing their neighbor. And you hear this in the news story for putting up a basketball hoop and using it.
When Lily Moding and her husband first installed this basketball hoop for their two young boys, they thought it would be a way for their family to stay active and healthy. They never dreamed it would become a source of neighborhood drama and the subject of lawsuits and legal action from their neighbor.
I have lost so much sleep over this. It's been so stressful.
Lily says about a year ago, new neighbors moved in next door and raised concerns about the location of their basketball hoop. The Modings discovered it was about 6 inches too close to the property line, so they had it moved with the city's approval.
We had to move it to where you see right now, so that is fully approved by the zoning board.
But it didn't end there. The neighbor filed a restraining order against Lily's husband, which was dismissed with prejudice. They've now filed a civil lawsuit against the family and the city of St. Louis Park, all stemming from this hoop.
I have a sense of dread because we've just been under attack for a year.
The neighbor also asked the court for a temporary injunction to prevent the boys from playing basketball in their own driveway throughout the summer months, citing safety concerns and that kids are trespassing by fetching balls that bounce onto their property. Lily tells me they set limits on what time their kids can play.
Like 20 minutes and then they're off to do something else. So we truly don't feel like we're being unreasonable about any of this.
Now, I did reach out to the neighbor who is behind this lawsuit for comment about all of this, but haven't heard back.
Oh, okay. It's cowardly for them not to answer. Cowardly.
Yeah, first off, you're suing them in civil courts. You're filing injunctions to stop kids from playing basketball. Here's the worst part about it, is all you ever hear from, like, the older generation to the younger generation, but kids, like, these kids these days don't know how to play outside.
Yeah, all they do is play video games.
All they do is sit outside on their iPad. These kids are just trying to shoot some hoops. And now we're suing them in civil court? This all comes down to one very basic principle. If you are choosing to live in a neighborhood with people, you have to accept the things that neighborhood things do. Kids play in the street. kids play basketball in their own driveway. Making a movement for the 6 inches was stupid enough. Kids play basketball in their own driveway. Sometimes they have to retrieve the ball from your yard as a part of it. I can't believe they're suing over this. This is shameful. Just go live in the country if you don't want a neighbor.
Yeah, these people suck. The whoever these people are that filed this lawsuit, I believe it's a husband and wife that filed the lawsuit. They obviously don't have kids. Or they did, their kids are no contact because they are not fun to be around. I can't believe that this is even a thing. I didn't know you could be sued for that. If I had known this existed when I was 12 years old, I can't. My parents would have lost their house over my brother and I playing basketball in the drive. I mean, we would. The ladies complaining, they're like, "Oh, it's 9:30 at night, and they're out there playing basketball." So I was out there at midnight playing in my driveway, and nobody ever said a word. I cannot believe the level of arrogance and like believing that everybody should cater to you sort of mentality from these people.
It'd be the opposite way. She says she's setting a time limit. We'd live on that court. The second you sue me, if my kids aren't shooting baskets, I am. I'll just be like every second of every day for the rest of this lawsuit.
Yep.
I'll be inviting other neighbors. You know what? Hey, guys, really excited about this.
Party at my house.
Anybody who lives on this street, I want to make it. I'll put up a rack, dude. Like, I'll put up 30 basketballs. I'll make it their nightmare to live next to me until they move.
Yeah, I'm not going to school.
It would be my life's mission to get them to move away. Because this is the other part of the news story that's important in there. They were living in this house and had the basketball, but then these people moved in. Were like, "Get rid of your."
Wait,
group.
They moved in and then decided they weren't living there before.
And the written part of the story, knew about this basketball hoop when they bought the house next door, and still did this stuff.
That's even worse.
Someone says legally, you're allowed to retrieve your property if it goes into someone's yard.
They filed a temporary injunction to prevent the kids from playing basketball in the driveway this summer.
I remember like when we were in elementary school, I remember like we would try to cut through a guy's yard to get home faster and he didn't like it. So we had to stop cutting through his yard, right? Like I understand the notion of like, I don't want 60 kids a year cutting through my yard just to get home or whatever between it. But the general rule of thumb when I was a kid, we played in the backyard a lot, played all this stuff. Is that if we knocked a ball over the fence, we had to go retrieve whatever from the neighbor's yard, climb at the post or go through the fence. Like if you can go through the gate, as in it's unlocked, just go through the gate. Don't mess up their fence, right? Don't hit the middle of the chain link or whatever. Climb in the corner.
Right.
Protect, like we try to protect each other's property a little bit, right? But retrieving a basketball? You don't want kids playing basketball? I can't believe they made them move the hoop for 6 inches near the property line.
Yeah, these people have nothing better to do with their time. I wouldn't go to a restaurant with these people.
Just move to the country. You can live in places that you do not have neighbors. That is a choice. You can go buy land or like just live somewhere else. You bought a house, just live somewhere else. That's all. Like anytime we get these stories, be like, I don't like people knock them. I'm like, you live in a neighborhood. This is what neighbors do. Someone says they should countersue for harassment. Said it's easier to move than sue. Agreed. I can't even imagine you would do that. It's just a total mess. When we come back, there's something the NFL is going to try in the uniform department that is of note, and I want to find out if you guys like it. We'll do that next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
I continue to see people talking about like the jersey numbers that they get handed out for the Chiefs. Anybody on this show care about that? Like the initial...
Sometimes you can tell, like
maybe first-round pick.
If you think that, like if Isaiah Simmons gets, like, one of the, I don't know what.
Like a good number? Offensive line, though. I mean, we can't. Wide receiver,
they assigned
maybe.
Him number 71, just classic. For reference. They gave him number 71.
Trent Williams. You can make a comparison. Like, okay, if they gave Rashard Smith 25, of course, Clyde, but Jamal Charles, if they give him, you know, you can base numbers off of, like, franchise players and. Do they value them a little bit more because they gave him this number or do they not, you know?
What does it say about Felix Anudike Uzama that they gave Jelani his number? They're both numbered 97.
Wait, what?
Yeah. This happens at camp sometimes. People are double number, but as of right now, Felix Anudike Uzama and Jelani are both number 97.
I think there's something to that, for sure.
You think there's some, like, that ain't good for Felix? You think it's some
maybe?
Of that? It can't be the other way. It can't be that they're like, if they're already, like, you're a rookie. The other guy's an established NFL player, you know?
Yeah, I think it sort of, again, I think hints towards a put up or shut up kind of year for Felix Anudike Uzama. Like, you were a first round pick 2 years ago. Through your first 2 years, you've shown flashes, but you haven't really done much. You haven't started a game. Like, you've got to make a jump. You've got to make the jump this year at some point. And if it doesn't, that fifth-year player option is likely going to get declined, and you could fall into relative obscurity pretty quick in this league.
Yeah, I mean, at 2.5 sacks, so he's definitely better in year two than he was in year one. So the question is, can you be slightly better in year three than you were in year two and start getting some value out of him? This is funny enough, not even the stuff I was going to talk about related to jerseys. But instead, an NFL announcement earlier today. The NFL is launching its biggest uniform update since the Color Rush, according to Nike, with new, quote, rivalries program debuting in 2025, inspired by each team's local community. The Nike-led concept will roll out over 4 years, similar to the Major League Baseball and NBA's alternate uniform series. The Chiefs will not be included this year. The Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, Cardinals, Rams, 49ers, and Seahawks, I believe, will be included this year. So the AFC East and the NFC West will be it. We just talked about this. So think Royal City Connect, or if you've seen the Golden State Warrior City Connect, it is going to be exactly like that. We have not seen a Chiefs alternate jersey ever other than the Color Rush. It is red on red, white on white, red on white or white on red. Those are the four uniform combinations you have watched every year for Kansas City. They don't even have a throwback. The throwback uniform is the uniform they wear. So this will, whenever the Chiefs get this, it's not next year. It could be 26, 7, or 8 because they're doing it in 4-year installment. This will be the most dramatic change in a Chiefs uniform you have seen in your lifetime. So are we pro? Like, are they going to screw this up? I guess
you
said
it's designed from the community. The community is like voting on them, or
so
whatever?
They're not even voting on them. You know, this is they design them around the city, like the City Connect. I can guarantee you, there will be a fountain.
Yep.
I've yet to see a community inspired, unless they're doing Disney or something. Like I will almost guarantee you, there will be a fountain on it.
Yeah, like the first three
or four
ideas.
Are they
going
to screw this up is the question. I'm worried it's going to be ugly, man. Are they going to do a completely different color? Like the Royals did a different color. It's blue, but I mean, it is a decidedly different blue.
Yeah.
Do they do a really dark red? Like, what do we think this is going to look like? What will be included in the Chiefs City Connect jersey?
The last thing I want to see is like a yellow alternate jersey, right? Because that's the secondary color for the Chiefs.
It's
red, white, yellow. Please God, not yellow. I'd rather see them do black. Like yeah, go yeah, with a black, black alternate. Yeah. I could vibe with an all black potentially. The first thing I thought of, same as you, there's going to be a fountain on it somewhere, right? Maybe there's a silhouetted outline of like the World War One Museum or Union Station.
It can't look like that Royals hat, dude, when they just put like a pig on it.
Yeah.
And a bunch of area codes.
Yeah.
And just like a saxophone because of jazz. We got to avoid them screwing this up. The Royals are not screwed up. The Royals decidedly have one of the better City Connect jerseys that exist. I really like the Poppies one from the, you know, like, or, you know, from the National. Like, there are some good ones out there. There are a lot of really bad ones.
Yes, there are some horrendous ones.
It is easy to bomb this.
Yeah. I just want him to just get me like a burnt ends meal from Jack Stack and just photo print that on the front of the jersey.
Is it going to look like ribs?
Just, I have no idea.
I want your suggestions. 913-586-7965. What do you think should be included? What color scheme do you want to see? What things do you want included in the City Connect jersey? The White Sox obviously just went kind of viral because they did the 90s Bulls one. So the red with the black stripe was very popular. The Rockies ones were really stood out this year because some teams have done more than one City Connect now.
Yeah, the Rockies are one of no. It's hard to like, what is this? Because I think with baseball, I think it might just be the helmet or like the shoulder pads idea of this, but I don't like the idea of a City Connect, like anything different than what the traditional like color, like if you're, they're basically creating a different.
They're creating a brand new Chiefs. Like, they're creating an alt version.
Yeah. Like,
a lot of times not the same colors, not the same scheme. Like it is likely to have, you're going to see Patrick Mahomes in a completely different color scheme.
Yeah. It's going to feel weirder with football, I think, than it is like with basketball or, okay. The one that I think of the teams that you mentioned, the one that could look the best is the Miami Dolphins. They're going to go Vice City, whatever. It's going to look really good.
Yeah, Miami's Miami's
the
City
neon.
It's going to
hit hard.
But they're not the Dolphins. Or are they still going to keep the helmets the same, where the logo is just in a different color, or so is the entire thing, including the helmet, going to be different? Because I think it's going to make it look weird.
In Major League Baseball, you do the helmet too. So I got to assume the helmet. In Major League Baseball, you do the helmet. So like in football, I got to assume it's the helmet. They're not going to do it like, because otherwise it turns into like the old Major League Baseball All-Star game stuff where everyone wears their team cap, but the All-Star jerseys are the same.
Like
they
the
do
old
for
Pro Bowl.
Old Pro Bowl. Sometimes they would do that, right? Like it's going to look like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, there's part of me that the concept is cool, but I think it's going to be really weird with football compared to the other.
Someone says, don't do black. We're not like the Raiders. Somebody says they're just going to slap a decal on the helmet. Someone says they want gold with red lettering. Again, you can't even be guaranteed it will be red.
No.
The Royals win blue, so I'm not saying it can't be that. It is like a darker blue. So, like, if you're doing it, just give me a weirdo one.
Yeah.
Like, in a lot of ways, don't even try to mimic the Chiefs one in any way, because then it'll just look like you screwed up.
So here's
what I'm
thinking.
Make a completely unique uniform that has nothing to do with what you're doing now.
So the Chicago White Sox, for their City Connect jerseys this year, theirs is inspired by the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
So theirs is red and black with black stripes going up and down it. Chiefs go powder blue? I think that would be the most bizarre thing. I would hate it, but I would honestly be intrigued by it.
That might be the best option.
Just go powder
blue.
Well,
but we said this, like, if they're going to copy someone's color scheme, do it the current. Put them in the red and teal.
Mm.
Like, if I'm going to see, like, they
that would
have
be
the,
nice.
They have the next best colors. Not the next best. The current, out of any of the professional teams in this entire city, have the best color scheme. You know what wouldn't surprise me? NFL history of Kansas City, is if they were going to mimic somebody else's uniforms and they still want to keep the red, why wouldn't you just make it look like the Monarchs? You pay tribute to the Negro Leagues. That's huge here in Kansas City. Why wouldn't you just go Monarchs coloring? That seemed completely out of the question. You keep red, you keep black, you keep some of these like alternate colors that have popped up in gear at least. You pay a little homage. You do the KC in a stylized thing.
I wonder if they...
Maybe that's not out of the question.
Yeah, you throw some gray in to sort of like accentuate the names and numbers a little bit like the Monarchs have in theirs. Yeah, I could see it.
Sounds like there's a variety of, because look, if they're going to include the fountain, I think it has to be blue of some kind. You're not going to obviously have like a fountain of red
fountain,
in there,
man.
You know?
Fountain of red.
If you're going to,
they've dyed the fountains red in the past.
They did the fountain on the Chiefs draft cap one year, and it was hideous. One of the ugliest hats I've One of the ugliest hats I've ever seen in my life. It was hideous.
You also could, not that they would do this, but the Kansas City Kings throwback to the red, white, and blue sort of scheme.
But you could just do Monarchs in the red with the black pinstripes. I mean, pinstripes in a football jersey just looks weird. It's going to look like...
I agree.
It's going to look weird, right?
Yeah, but I mean...
Monarchs have a lot of different versions. You can go a lot of different ways.
If the Giants or Jets were going to do an alternate, wouldn't it make sense for one of them to do like a Yankees-inspired one? I mean, it's the... it's
with the pinstripes? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Patriots to do like a Celtics-inspired one, right? It's... I could see it being less likely for the Chiefs to do it because the Chiefs are a more recognizable brand than the Royals are, right? If it's on the flip side of it, that's why the White Sox are doing it with the Bulls, is because the Bulls are a more recognizable brand than the White Sox are, so you pay homage to them. The Chiefs, to pay homage to an organization historically that hasn't had as much success as you have, makes a little bit less sense, and I think plays less into the fabric of the community.
I'm about flames, like as if you're, if it's a barbecue, what are you gonna have?
What's looking like a Guy Fieri shirt?
I was gonna say,
that's their alternate.
That would be the helmet. That would be the helmet, 100%.
But in fairness,
some brisket with like a grill. Yeah.
So John over on Twitter said the same thing, and if that you missed it, the NFL announced that they're essentially doing their version of, they're calling it Rivalries, but their version of City Connect jersey. So for the next 4 years, every team in the NFL will reveal a City Connect version. But John over 20 is like, I'd rather have a rib bone than a fountain. At this point, yeah. We've dug deep enough into the fountain thing. It's not working. It's the Royal City Connect got the closest to making it work. Like, it works really well in this like limited kind of art deco world. But like, there are, I mean, the amount of misses, man.
There's going to be a lot of them. There's a lot of them that are going to happen.
The amount of misses. Oh, dude, we'll be burying these over the next 2 years, waiting with bated breath. I do not think it's unimportant to note, like, a lot of other teams have done. Like, I've watched the Steelers roll out those weirdo ones.
The Bumblebee
mm-hmm. ones. I've seen a lot of different good or bad versions of different jerseys to go with this across the board. We have, in our entire lives, never seen the Chiefs in an alternate jersey. Am I missing some time in which this existed? In my entire life, I do not have a single, other than like the dude who shows up in the black jersey to the Chiefs game.
Right, exactly.
Like the fan, like the black with the like the yellow letters. The Chiefs themselves wear red on red on white, or white on red. That's it. So this will be a dramatic shift.
They've had yellow on the black jersey.
Anything now? Oh yeah, just like fan jersey.
Yeah,
the black one with the yellow like trim lettering, red lettering, all that stuff. That's very common at Chiefs game. You see one person in like the black jersey version of the Chiefs thing. I hate that version.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them doing like an all black, but honestly, like, you can't. If you were gonna do all black, it would have to be black and red. You can't do black and yellow because then you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't know what they do with it, right? Somebody in the text line mentioned putting the decibel mark on it, like the Nuggets a few years ago put the 5280 for the Mile High sort of theme, right? I could see them putting like
913816.
The decibel, like 142 decibels, because the world record. I could see them doing something to that effect on it, or somebody else said put like the kingdom for the Chiefs kingdom on the jerseys and those sorts of things. There are things you can do. I am 1000% kingdom's on board with you. Please don't do the fountain. Don't. I mean, even the Royals, their City Connects this year are just basically the new city logo that they've put onto the jerseys. I could see Mayor Quentin Lucas and some of the, you know, the Kansas City influence trying to factor into that, but I don't know. I like the way the jersey combination works right now. Go with a red, go with a white. And if you're going to do a different color, just lean in and go powder blue. Do something weird, because I don't like the yellow idea at all.
I think the idea of it, because Cody, the thing that's throwing me off, guys, is the, like what you said in the description, is it's a City Connect jersey. It's not like just a normal alternate jersey, because if you did an alternate jersey, I would do the all black with the red Chiefs logo on the helmet, yeah, with white outline on the numbers and on the nameplate. It would look sick. It would look great. Or do the all
white. All white, head to toe with the helmet too.
The problem though,
like,
is that
icy,
it's not,
white. Yes. You just do that.
The problem
like
is
a
that
matte
it's,
white.
It's not just an alternate uniform. It's a City Connect one. So it's like doing an all black or an all white. There's got to be so much more that goes along with it where you're essentially creating a new identity like we've talked about the whole time.
I appreciate my friend Brad for reminding me. The Chiefs did wear a throwback. 2009, they were the Dallas Texans.
Yeah, the AFL anniversary one.
They were the AFL anniversary one in 2009. They were fun. State of Texas, plain white helmet, but still like not a real, like the helmet is a deviation. The rest of the jersey is a slight deviation, but not crazy.
That's more like just a normal throwback jersey. It's not a City Connect jersey.
A little bit. Yeah. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like.
Can we see like a Lamar Hunt Super Bowl sort of homage, right? The guy that came up with the name Super Bowl and pay some homage to the guy that created the organization. I don't know.
I'm fascinated.
What the heck is Buffalo going to put
on theirs? I'm not usually a jersey guy. I am.
Just an upright with a football going either left or right of it.
Just Buffalo wings.
Probably just
a Buffalo wings.
It's going to be Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
We all know it's going to be Niagara Falls.
Water doesn't work on a uniform. Give it up.
It doesn't.
Don't put lakes on it. It doesn't it's an amoeba on a uniform.
What else do they have? Just put 8 inches of snow on their jersey.
That doesn't make... I
don't know. I don't have any idea. I don't know enough about their city.
Some of these are going to be grossly bad.
Yes, some will be really, really, really bad. Sorry, I just wanted to get into that. I know we spent way too much time on it, but I'm fascinated by the Chiefs' alternate jersey uniform. We can talk more about it in the fan club later. Harold Kuntz, we're going to have some coffee-based drinks joined to us as well, so we'll do a little bit of that. I was thinking more about Josh Simmons, and I want to ask... I set this number, and I don't know if this is way, way, way too high or way, way, way too low. But I wanted to think about Josh Simmons and the way he maybe plays this year. Over under, very simple question. Over under, 4.5 games started for Josh Simmons this year. I thought this incorporated three things. If he started right away, like he either just beat out, right? He just won a job from either Juwan Taylor right away or from Moore right away. He came in because of injury. Somebody got hurt and he had to play for a little bit. It's not like Jalen Moore's got... You know, it's not like he's played 17 games year in and year out, right? So maybe there. Or somebody plays bad enough that he becomes the eventual starter, knowing health. I thought 4.5 would cover all three of those potential scenarios. And we saw Kingsley Suamataia got to 3 starts last year. So I felt like it had to be more than that if I was setting an over-under. So over-under, what do we think? Do we think Josh Simmons starts more than 4.5 games this year? I'm team over. I think they are very, very high on Simmons. And I do not think it's out of question that he could win the job from day one. And I don't think it's out of question that he could, any of these scenarios seem viable for me. So all I'm really banking on at this point is either he wins the job, maybe somebody gets hurt, or somebody plays poor enough that he deserves the job again. I think he's starting more than 5 games this year for the Chiefs.
I'm going to go on the opposite side of you. I believe under. I think that while they do have confidence in him, I think it makes the most sense for the Kansas City Chiefs in the long term to play a wait-and-see game with him. Make sure that he is as back to 100% as he can possibly be before you throw him out onto the field. You give him an opportunity to go through rookie camp and mini camp and training camp and the preseason and during the season, getting acclimated to the speed and the physicality of the game in the NFL and what it takes to understand, comprehend, and utilize an NFL playbook. I also look at... Yeah, if an injury were to occur or Jalen Moore gets off to a slow start, Juwan Taylor gets off to a slow start. The Chiefs do have, whether we want to admit that it's good or bad depth, they do have depth on their offensive line, right? Kelly Endo is still here.
Yeah, they got good depth.
And
I think it's good depth, honestly.
Yeah, if Jalen Moore goes down, who's to say the Chiefs won't say, all right, let's kick Kingsley Suamataia back out to left tackle. We'll put Kelly Endo in at guard. And or...
I think that we'll roll first, unless there's just an injury. Yeah. But yeah.
And or do we roll Wanye Morris out there again if they're not 100% confident in Joshua Simmons? Because the last thing I want to see is what happened a year ago. Kingsley Suamataia wasn't ready yet, and the Chiefs threw him out there before he was ready, and I think it stunted a lot of what they wanted him to be able to have at his disposal late in the year. You threw him out there week one. It didn't work. You threw him out. You threw Wanye in there. He gets hurt. You signed DJ Humphries. It was a disaster from the word go. The last thing I want to see is Joshua Simmons out there at left or right tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs in a primetime role before I believe he's ready. I would say under only because I kind of hope it's the under. I hope that they give him an opportunity to become comfortable before you throw him out on the field.
I yes and no. Like I agree with you, but they are decidedly different prospects. When you were taking 31 and everyone wants to tell you how he had been picked in the top 15 if it wasn't for the injury, Reddy can only be related to injury for me. Kingsley was picked 63, 66, whatever the hell he was.
Yeah.
The end of the second round. You don't have to be Reddy day one in that spot. They chose to put him in, but that's not necessarily a day one guy right away. If you're taking in the first round, you're supposed to be on the line. So, like, I could see why somebody would lean under. I do. But, like, my guess is that you should be hoping he wins the job. You should be hoping he wins the job.
I do. I hope he wins the job.
I don't know how else to look at it.
Yeah, the money that they gave Jalen Moore definitely gives you the thought that they don't know if he's an everyday starter at left tackle, right? They don't know if he's the guy long-term at tackle. I mean, he was a mid to late pick in the draft, right? He was just drafted to be Trent Williams' backup, and Williams goes down with an injury, and he took advantage of a role, right?
And he got himself paid because of it.
Yeah, low to mid 70s in terms of his Pro Football Focus grade and in terms of pass and run blocking, right? If Joshua Simmons hits, that's a Pro Bowl, all-pro caliber tackle for the next 10 years, right? That's the guy protecting the blind side of 15 until the day he decides to hang it up. So obviously you're hoping that that's a guy that can come out day one and do it. But that patella tendon thing can be very finicky, especially with an offensive lineman at his size and stature. If he's healthy, yes, he's the best tackle in this draft. He reminds me a lot of a Penei Sewell sort as a left tackle versus a right tackle. I'm just not, I can't express 100% confidence in a guy coming off of an injury, especially as an offensive lineman, because it's so much more difficult for those guys to bounce back.
I think it's a cliche, an answer that just, well, of course you'd say this, but I think it depends on how the year starts with Jalen Moore.
Why can't he just win the job right away? He's paid $10 million. Like, I still think he should be allowed to beat out Juwan Taylor. I don't care how much money he's making. If he's worse than him, he should start a right tackle.
I mean, I think he can compete, I guess, but it seems like the week one offensive line will be the three in the middle, Kingsley, in all likelihood, at left guard. But you have Jalen Moore, and then you have Juwan Taylor right, and you let – I don't know if acclimate is the right word, but if Jalen Moore is fine or he struggles a little bit, they're almost going to have deja vu, though, where they think, well, we did the same thing kind of with King. Like, I don't think they want to get in a position where they're gun-shy because of what happened to Kingsley last year. Even though they are two totally different players for the reasons you guys just discussed, I wonder if that's something that's kind of floating in the back of their head of, are we sure he's ready? Do we want to make sure?
I hope they don't have this terrible way to rush him. Because by that same notion, they should have never taken Rashee Rice because it failed with Sky. You know, like, I just hate, and I'm not saying teams don't do this, Drew. That's definitely not the argument I'm making. Hate when teams do it. I'm convinced it's why the Chiefs didn't take a quarterback for 30 years. Clark Hunt watched them screw up Todd Blackledge, and then they just ran around scared for 30 years, not taking a first-round quarterback. What a horrible way to operate. Like, once Patrick Mahomes retires 25 years from now, he's like 50. He's like George Blanda out there. When he retires at some point later on in his life, they should take a first-round quarterback every year until they get one right. You saw what a difference it makes to get it right. Like, if you get it wrong, you just stink. Well, you stink anyway, so I guess such is life.
In that case, though, what I would say is, from the jump, because they haven't said there's a competition at left tackle, correct? I don't think they've said there's a
competition. No, Andy did. Andy, in his post-game, said he pretty much openly admitted he will let Joshua Simmons compete. Like, okay. that's how he put it. He made it sound like he said it all, like, both tackle positions is the way he hinted at
because
it.
Because if you draft a tackle in the first round, they might not say it publicly, but I would be thinking in the thought process regarding Josh Simmons is, if he's healthy, he's starting week one.
That would be my plan,
if he's healthy, picked him in the first round, he's going to be the guy. And maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. But if you valued him that much to pick him in the first round, I think he has to be the one that you play first, if he's fully healthy.
When we come back, we'll talk more about the Royals and what they did in winning 9 of 10 games before they take on Baltimore tonight. But we have an update from Alex Gold regarding the one-of-one Caitlin Clark card he's been expecting all day. He ran into some trouble. We'll tell you about it next.